Okay, well, we're going to be talking about the light again today. We've talked about the light of God in creation, creating light for us, and then that God lighted the world, that the light of God was upon Israel for a while, and that then we saw that Israel was a light unto the Gentiles while they were on their rise before they fell. And when they fell, God assigned that to Paul. Saul of Tarsus converted to, or not converted, but saved to Paul. And he Acts 13:45, I think it is, or 46, says that he was a light unto the Gentiles. That God had told him that now he is the light unto the Gentiles. So we look to his 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon, for light to us. And then once, when Gentiles who were unassociated with Israel, not the Greeks, in other words, but alien from Israel, when they come to God through the gospel that Christ committed to Paul to dispense to us, then God shines in our hearts. And we, in the body of Christ, shine as lights in the world. And we can see that plainly in some verses. Let's look at those verses. 2 Corinthians, and I think I can get some of these if they don't get too rapid for me. Let me post this one. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Be looking at Jesus Christ. See his face. We're told over and over that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Study to be approved of God. Now I commend you to God and the word of his grace. So we need to be in his word to see the face of Christ. Then in Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So that's pretty clear too. Jesus Christ had earlier identified himself as the light of the world. And when Saul of Tarsus received salvation there on the road to Damascus, he saw Jesus Christ as a bright light, brighter than the noonday sun, it says. And he heard Jesus saying, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And at that point, Christ began associating his light with the revelation to Saul and with the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus Christ saved Saul of Tarsus by this new gospel, which is part of the new pattern that Christ started with Saul of Tarsus. Saul was not forgivable. He was not savable in Israel's kingdom program. Israel's gospel was a gospel of the kingdom, and he had blasphemed the Holy Ghost right there in Scripture at the end of Acts 7. Jesus saved Saul by this new gospel. He couldn't have been saved by Israel's gospel because of his blaspheming the Holy Ghost, the unforgivable sin that the Lord Jesus Christ had named for Israel ahead of time in Matthew 12:31 and 32. So Jesus saved Paul this new way and committed that gospel to Paul to eventually spread to the world. We get Paul's preaching to us in his epistles, Paul's 13 epistles, which are Romans through Philemon in the Bible, toward the back of the Bible. By reading and believing these, it's as if he is our apostle. Ephesians 4:11, he is the apostle of the Gentiles that it's talking about, that the church, the body of Christ, has today. He's not alive today, but his writings are. And he hasn't been replaced by Jesus Christ. Paul's epistles are the last things written in the Bible, even after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 1 Peter, 1 John. You know, Paul was after those. He's placed in the middle. It's not a chronological placing in the Bible, but it is a dispensational placing. God is working in those chapters now. Later, he has other things that are going to happen in Hebrews through Revelation after the end on earth, the end of the body of Christ on earth when he takes us up to heaven. It's called the catching up in 1 Thessalonians 4. But Paul preached that gospel in Antioch of Pisidia, and Israel, already having already fallen by then, Christ revealed to Paul that he has set Paul to be a light of the Gentiles. Again, Christ was then associating light with the body of Christ and with Paul's gospel and Paul's commission, sending by Jesus Christ. It's a different sending than the 12 apostles, Israel's 12 apostles had. They had a sending to preach the kingdom that was to come. You know, at that time it was at hand. It's no longer at hand. In Acts 8, you see Philip preaching a future kingdom, not an at-hand kingdom. So the nation had fallen in Acts 7, and they couldn't offer the kingdom anymore. But not at that time. But in Acts 9, God saved Paul. Jesus Christ saved Paul, Saul of Tarsus at the time. And so Israel had lost their light, having fallen by committing that unforgivable sin in Acts 7. And Christ set Paul to be a light unto the Gentiles. So God is not caught short-handed. He's not caught by surprise or anything. He knows what's going to happen in the future from us, you know, from what, you know, beyond this date in history. He knows what's going to happen already. And he's prepared for it. Today, God gives those who believe Paul's gospel for salvation, not Israel's circumcision gospel, but Paul's, which Jesus Christ himself taught only, you know, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he taught Israel the circumcision gospel, and he taught it to Israel. He didn't teach it to the Gentiles. I am not sent but to the lost tribe of the house, lost sheep of the house of Israel, excuse me. So that's a quote from what Jesus said there in Matthew 15, I believe it is. So that was when he walked the earth, though, as a minister of the circumcision, before his ascension back to heaven. The one Holy Spirit baptizes into the body of Christ, into that one body, those who believe Paul's gospel of salvation. The body wasn't a factor, wasn't involved with Israel or Israel's believers. They were in Christ, the vine. They're not in the body of Christ. The body of Christ began with the first member of it, Paul, on the road to Damascus. So now, according to Philippians 2:15, we in the body of Christ today, we shine as lights in the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we are in Christ, in the body of Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and we shine. We are the lights in the world. The light is in us, and we shine the light of the world to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles. We have it in our hand, in the Bible. We read it. We preach it. We believe it. And don't believe... Well, I was going to get off the side. Let me just say the Bible, Proverbs 30, verse 5, the words of the Lord are pure words. If you've got a book that doesn't have purity, that lacks purity, that has an impurity in it, has any kind of an error in it, then it's not the Bible. We do have the Bible. The Lord promised to provide the Bible throughout history. And 1 Peter 1:25 tells us that it will endure forever. So you can have You can find out the errorless Word of God, the pure Word of God today. Just don't accept it if, you know, if you look in Acts 8:37, and there's no verse there. You know, somebody yanked it out because they didn't like it. Or other places you can test and find out. Is the blood in Colossians 1:14? The blood is in there in God's Word. So, going on, you can recall in Galatians 2, verse 9, Galatians 2, 9, we find the little flock, the Israel of God, and those of repute and reputation in them, they pledged not to go to anyone but to the true circumcision with their gospel of the circumcision, those that had already been gathered in that group, that little flock. They pledged not to do any more evangelizing, but to minister to themselves, to that little flock there in Jerusalem, and as they had scattered. So they were not legitimately adding anyone to the church, that church, the Matthew 16 church that they were part of. When they died out, that only left unbelieving apostate Israel remaining alive. And they were the ones that Romans 2:25 classifies as uncircumcision because they could not keep all the law. Galatians 3:6, 6 and 7, especially 7, classifies them as not being the children of Abraham because they did not have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the risen Son of God. They not only had to be descended from Abraham in the flesh, but they had to believe, they had to have the faith of Abraham that Jesus Christ is the risen Son of God, the Messiah. And so they were quite eligible. They were in line to hear Paul's gospel of salvation. They were not in the little flock. Apostate Israel were eligible to hear Paul preached the gospel of salvation, the gospel that was revealed to him, the new gospel, called the gospel of Christ at that time. Since Paul taught at the end of Acts that at that time his gospel of Christ, crucified for our sins, was Israel's only hope. Look at Acts 20, chapter 28, verse 20. Acts 28, 20. For this cause, therefore, I have called you to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. He was bound with a chain. He was arrested and chained for preaching the gospel to all people. Not just, you know, what Jesus had said to Israel, that salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. Paul had started preaching his gospel of Christ crucified for our sins to Israelites as well as to non-Israelites, to us. Specifically, the Israelites had objected to Paul preaching to the non-Israelites. And objected is a mild word. They had rioted, and the police had to come and rescue Paul from being torn apart. So that is who Christ sent Paul to with his gospel, according to Acts 26:17. It was to all people, including non-Israelites, and those who were never associated with Israel. We find out that in Acts 22, verses 18 and 21, I think it is, 18 and 21, yes. He was preaching to non-Israelites, and people like us that aren't Israelites, aren't converted to Israel, aren't blessing Israel, you know, people that even that don't care about Israel or God in general. They are the ones to whom Paul was sent with this gospel so that they could be saved too. We could be saved. Therefore, Paul's gospel was Israel's only hope because they were cast away. About to be cast away, they were partially blinded in Acts 20. In Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, they were blinded, period. So you can see from that they were, excuse me, something distracted me there. They were blinded. They were waiting, just as they're waiting today, for God to turn things around with Zechariah 12:10, giving them a spirit of, pouring out on them, it says, a spirit of grace and of supplication. So, let me just see. There's a little more here I wanted to teach. But we've been mainly talking about Israel before discovering the Bible's teaching regarding the catching up of the body of Christ. We may focus on the contrast. In fact, let's do that now, I think. Contrast between Israel and the body of Christ. So we can see that the body of Christ is a separate and new entity of God. It's an agency of God on earth to bring people into the heavenly, God's heavenly domain, in heaven, not the earthly kingdom that Christ came to set up on earth through Israel. This is the body of Christ that wrestles with principalities and powers in heavenly places. So in contrasting them, we'll look first of all at some of the distinguishing characteristics of the prophesied coming down of Christ to Israel with his kingdom from heaven, offering the kingdom from heaven. Let me just check. Do I still have sound? Can you hear me? Okay, we'll go on. That was what God covenanted or promised to Israel all along, that they would enter the land would be the kingdom. Emmanuel, God with us, would sit on the throne, in David's throne in Israel, ruling the land, ruling the world from the land. They would possess the land and rule the world from the land. And God covenanted to Israel that their kingdom would be dominant and that they would be the head. And the Gentile nations would be the tail when Israel keeps their part of the covenant. According to, and you can look that up if you want. It's Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, 2, 10, 9 and 10, 13 and 14. In fact, they're important. Let's just look at those here. I don't see any response. Is there sound in the room? Can you hear me? Can somebody give me a one if you can hear me? I'll start reading. There we go. Thank you. Deuteronomy 1, this is chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 9, and the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. This is Deuteronomy after Exodus 19. And here's the if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. That's the identity of the Lord. We know it is the gospel of God, about who God is, who Jesus is. Thou art called by the name of the Lord. When the kingdom comes, Jesus Christ, the one that the gospel of God points to, will be sitting on the throne of Israel. So it's not unrelated here. It's integral to it. All the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Deuteronomy 28, verses 13 and 14. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Well, right now, Israel is not keeping their covenant. Israel is lo am I. They are not now God's people. For now, God will not be their God. So Israel, while Israel isn't keeping their part of the covenant, they will be the tail. They will not be the head. According to Deuteronomy, let's look further down in Deuteronomy 28. That's a very telling chapter. If you want to read through that, it's quite a story. It's not a history lesson. It's not going through history like Acts 7 is. But it's provisions that you can see, you know, by a surface knowledge of Israel. You can see that where they fall short. Looking in Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Deuteronomy 28, verses 43 now, 43 through 45. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Sounds familiar from today, huh? Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. But in prophecy and in the future, Israel will rise again. Israel will rise according to Isaiah 60, verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. That's one day in the future. God is going to keep his promise. God's not a liar. He doesn't switcheroo on us and change the recipient of the promise. Israel will receive the promise, the promised blessings. How foolish for anyone to say that Gentiles will always be the head as they are now. Israel will always be the tail as they are now. No. God said it will be the other way around. Even though we do not see it being that way right now, it requires faith to believe what God said above what's going on right now. During this current dispensation of the grace of God, Israel is cast away from God since they broke his covenant. That makes what Paul preached Israel's only hope. Acts 28, verse 20. How foolish to try and insert ourselves into God's promises to Israel, because God did not promise them to us. Israel was separated and severed from us, from the Gentiles. Leviticus 20, verses 24 to 26. Exodus 20, 33, verse 16, a lot of places you can find that they are separated. Numbers 23, 9, they're not to be numbered among the nations. Israel is different. Israel is God's people. We are not. They were to be holy unto the Lord, so they had to be separated from us, from the Gentiles. When I say us in this context, I'm talking about the Gentiles in general in the world, not converted or believers that have salvation, have been saved already. So God promised us something else. In some ways, it's something better. It's much better for us to go with God's revelation to us and find out what God promised us if you believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Believe what God promised us instead of trying to usurp Israel's promises to them only. So in our study, we're still comparing Israel with the body of Christ. So, therefore, in order to understand Israel better, consider the land mentioned in Ezekiel, in the prophecy about Israel. In Ezekiel 36 and 37, it's mentioned about 14 times in those two prophetic chapters about the future. Israel will dwell in the land, on earth, as it was promised to them. All the promises of God that he made with Israel, God will keep with Israel. And it's stated very plainly in Ezekiel 36 and 37. You can read those two chapters. It's exciting reading to read what is going to happen in the future after we're caught up to be with the Lord. I encourage you to read them for yourself to confirm to yourself that God will keep his promises to Israel. God didn't replace Israel. They are blinded for a while. God is working out his plan of heavenly, retaking the heavenly places, you know, at the moment with the body of Christ. We have something different than Israel. We don't walk by signs that we see, by sight, as Israel does. We walk by faith. By faith, not sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We'll read some verses about that. Matthew 24, verses 28 to 31. Look at Zechariah 12, verses 9 to 11. And Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 4. They're all about Christ's return, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, to Israel. And we're just about to close here, or stop the lesson anyway. This is why we understand and show that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a continuation of the Holy Scriptures in Genesis through Malachi. It's called the Old Testament, before the death of the testator. And that's what Hebrews tells those Hebrew people that Hebrews was written to. It tells them about it. The Old Testament is about God's working with Israel, and its prophecies that are in there are about Christ's return to earth in glory, not about the body of Christ being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's just not in the Old Testament because that was mystery only revealed to Paul. Genesis through John are inspired prophetic writings about Christ coming down and cleaving the Mount of Olives in half. The Bible shows them to be two different events separated by years of time. The coming back of Christ comes after he has come to the air to catch us up to be with him forever. Amen. Okay, I'm done. And time for any questions or comments.